read a Bible reading. The first one is taken from Psalm 67, and we'll be following the New International Version. The director of music with string instruments to sound a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, and your salvation among all nations.
Yeah.
May the people praise you, God. May all the people praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, Lord. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses it. May God bless us here, so that all the ends of the earth grow here. The second Bible reading is taken from John 14, verses 23 to 29, again from the NIV. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom your Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I am going to you. For the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happened, so that when it does happen, you will believe." Thank you.
Thank you.
The peace that Jesus gives. And I've noticed the peace that Jesus gives. Lord, help me to speak your words this morning, that you will speak to our hearts and our minds, for we want you to be glorified. Amen. So, concentrating on this passage in John's Gospel, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his coming death and makes the promise of sending the Holy Spirit, who will continue the teaching that Jesus gave his disciples. This teaching is also for us today. It's really a conversation among friends. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he conversed with his disciples and he walked with them and he talked with them. We've got that chorus, haven't we? And, you know, he taught them so much. But it was always, I feel he does it on the hoof, as it were, when he's walking along the desert roads. So at the centre of this conversation is the relationship that's been developing among these friends over the past 3 years. Now, as Jesus' human life is drawing to a close, Jesus invites his friends into an even deeper friendship than the one they've shared. He invites them into the eternal relationship he enjoys with his Father. So, when Judas says, "How is it that we get to see you in your fullness, but the world doesn't?" Jesus tells him that the answer lies in this eternal relationship with God And it requires our obedience to his new commandment. And that commandment is that we love one another with all our hearts and minds and souls. And he says, those who love me obey my words, and my word is to love one another as I have loved you. Jesus says, what's more, the Father will love you who love and obey me and the Father, and I will make our home with you. So he's promising to make his home with us. But the reverse of this is also true. If you don't love me, you won't keep my words. Christ reveals himself to his own because they're looking for him. Are you looking for Jesus every day? They can recognize the Father in him. And that recognition did not come any more easily for those first disciples than it does for Jesus. If you remember, Mary at the tomb didn't recognize Jesus until he called her by name, Mary. And she knew instantly that it was her Lord and Saviour. And that's what he does to us today. He calls us by name. So we have it on good authority, straight from God the Father, that if we don't love Jesus, we won't obey his commandment to love each other. If we aren't loving each other, it's a pretty good indicator that we don't really love Jesus. Why is Jesus making such a big deal out of this? He knows his human life is coming to an end. And when he isn't around in flesh and blood anymore, his followers are going to need something to hold on to. Jesus said, I've said these things to you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you. In other words, you don't need to take notes. The Holy Spirit will help you remember what he's teaching you. I remember when I was a very young Christian and I went to Girl Crusaders, and we were encouraged to learn a verse of scripture every week, off by heart. And some of those scriptures have stayed with me throughout the whole of my life so far. And it's just wonderful that, you know, as children, we can learn God's word and hold on to it as we follow him. So this Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit guides us and leads us and helps us to remember things. And also, the Holy Spirit walks with us through the difficult times. That's what an advocate is. An advocate is a person who defends you and speaks up for you. And he stays beside us without getting in our way or pushing from behind. God never pushes us. He encourages us and gently leads us. The Spirit doesn't force us into one direction or another, but guides gently while walking next to us, standing up for us, keeping us company, giving us comfort. And it's amazing how he does lead. I remember I was at Bible college and I was walking down the road to the station, and I was thinking, I really was convinced that God was calling me to Africa as a missionary. But I was already having a lovely friendship with my husband Ian. We weren't married at that time, obviously. And Ian felt a call to work here in England. And I struggled with it, and I prayed and I prayed. And I felt the Lord say to me, it's okay, Barbara. You don't have to go to Africa to preach my word, to be with people and to help them find me. you can do it here with Ian by your side. And that's how it's been. It's had its ups and downs, but it's been wonderful. So that's the Holy Spirit guides us gently. He's not going to bamboozle you. He's going to just gently be with you day by day. And he will give us his comfort. And it's this kind of comfort and support Jesus means when he says, I give you my peace. And that brings us to the core truth of this passage. Jesus gives peace that is not like the world's peace. So don't be troubled. And stop being afraid. We don't need to be afraid. And here's the big question this passage is asking of us. How is the peace Jesus gives different from the world, from the peace the world gives? And why does it matter? The biblical idea of peace is grounded in the Hebrew word shalom. And we have a church in Wickham called Shalom. Shalom is more than an absence of strife or conflict. In fact, one of the indicators of Christ's shalom is the way it sustains us in the middle of conflict and strife. And I don't know about you, but we're all praying so much for the strife in Ukraine and asking for God's peace to be upon that land and upon the people. And I believe there will be many stories coming out of Ukraine of God's power to save and to heal and to renew. Shalom, or peace, indicates completion, wholeness, a time in the future when everything is made right and put into God's intended balance for creation. Christ's peace brings this hope for a wholeness in, for bringing wholeness into our present time. The kingdom of God is at hand. We are part of the kingdom of God, we who believe. So the kingdom of God is here now on earth with us, without our Lord, of course. But his Holy Spirit is here in his place. So it's something that we can experience now. So while the peace that Jesus gives is eternal, in contrast to the temporary nature of any peace that we might find in this world today, we don't have to wait for Christ's peace to become real to us. But I don't know about you, but isn't it so easy to get stuck in an endless cycle of looking for peace in all the wrong places? Constantly striving for the kind of peace the world gives us. We think of if people would just stop arguing and start listening to one another, there could be peace. If we could just be satisfied with what we have, instead of trying to consume more and more, we would find peace. Maybe if governments would just do their jobs and people would stop taking advantage of others' weaknesses. If the rich would stop building their fortunes on the backs of the poor and people would take responsibility for the harm they cause. Maybe, then there could be some hope of peace in the world. We have a very troubled world at the moment, don't we? We've just come through a dreadful time of COVID, and people still go down with COVID. And all the rumours of wars, all the natural disasters that are going on. I believe I was reading about Australia and the dreadful fires and the excessive heat that they're experiencing in their summer. Everything seems to be changing. Everybody's being affected all over the world. Here, we're suffering with our economy, aren't we? And how we're going to meet the next bill, fuel bill. and not just for the house, but for the car, and all the other things that we do need in this world. But the peace that our world offers isn't really any peace at all, is it? At best, it's a bandage that we put over the wounds of our fear and frustration. Stop being afraid. Let your hearts be free from worry. Jesus says, I give you my peace. And it's nothing at all like the world's peace. You don't have to earn it, or build it, or create it out of our own resources. Jesus gives it to us. Just receive it. Receive the peace that Jesus wants to give you. As his disciples were wondering what would happen next, Jesus gave his peace to them. Even before he would be arrested, tortured, and killed, Jesus knew that his work was already accomplished. He was already living beyond the resurrection, and his words were already preparing the disciples for the moment when they would see him rise into the clouds and return to the Father's side. And on Thursday, we celebrate Ascension Day. And then 10 days later, Pentecost, when the church as we know it came into being. So beyond incarnation, beyond crucifixion, beyond even resurrection, Christ's ultimate purpose is revealed in his ascension into glory. And the ultimate purpose of John's gospel comes into focus. Jesus says, and now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. This is the purpose of John's entire gospel. These things are written that you may believe, and believing have life in his name. John's whole gospel is about the incarnation, God becoming flesh. God came among us to fulfill God's deepest desire to live with us. He's created us. He's created us for his pleasure. And he wants to make his home with us. The goal has always been to include us in God's interrelationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is more beyond incarnation, even beyond resurrection. Ascension brings us to a plane of existence where we're in Christ, just as Christ is in the Father. This is the peace that Jesus offers. It has nothing to do with earthly armistice agreements or treaty negotiations or conflict resolution protocols. Christ's peace is both an inner peace we know in our hearts and an outer peace we experience when we love one another with God's love. But more than that, it is the peace that Christ gives us when we believe in him and we receive life in his name. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Almighty God, we bless you for our lives. We praise you for your abundant grace and love shown to us. We ask you to give us peace in our minds, body, soul, and spirit. Please heal and remove everything that causes us stress, grief, and sorrow in our lives. For we ask it in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.